Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Faggy Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
It's a beautiful spring morning. Welcome to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. Very beautiful, in fact. I think half my family's ran down with the pollen.
Same here. Oh my gosh, the sneezing is nonstop.
I actually chatted to somebody yesterday whose child was unfortunately put in hospital. He's having such a bad asthma attack from what is going on out there. I said, everybody's been taking allergics and really having a bad time.
So I think it's a Johannesburg thing. It's like all the plane trees that everyone's allergic to.
I don't know what it is.
Never mind. The
dry air. Are you suffering from an allergic attack now? You're not alone at least Johannesburg. You're welcome to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. This is Adel Kozilski.
And I'm Faggy Stone. Welcome and good morning.
And as always, Wednesdays are our favorite days of the week, and even more favorite because we have our favorite man sitting between us, and that's Dr. Cassell. And we're going to continue exploring the world of medicine. And I think yesterday I was chatting to Dr. Cassell and I said, I think we should start like this. Dr. Cassell, you mentioned that there are four pillars to medicine. Let's put some foundations in.
Good morning, everybody. Well, what I realized after years and years of practice is that medicine is not one-dimensional, it's multi-dimensional. What do we mean by that? It means that you've got to invoke all the other fields of medicine to understand the field that you're actually working in. Put very simply, let's take the field of malignancy, which we discussed in the last program, cancer. Cancer is not cancer when the tumor arrives. Sure, it is cancer, but that's already when it's a fait accompli. There are the genetic factors of cancer, there are the immune factors of cancer, there are the dietary factors that cause cancer, there are the environmental factors that cause cancer. And when you tie all these things up, you at last begin to understand cancer. The same with the talk that I'm going to talk on today, the autoimmune diseases. Here we have a little protein in the bone marrow that emerges as an antibody. And that antibody comes out of the bone marrow to fulfill a role in the body. Its role in the body is to typically act against intruders. Intruders from without and intruders from within. And whatever the intruder might be, without or within, this antibody has a purpose in life, and its purpose in life is to destroy it. So we come to the definition of my program today, which is autoimmune disorders. And the definition of an autoimmune disorder is typically occurs when the immune system of the body mistakenly attacks the body's own tissues. And this has led, as you will see further on in the program, to the most important and complicated diseases in medicine. In fact, I would put my neck out and say that it probably leads to every single disease that we suffer from. Now, how does the attack occur? The attack in an autoimmune disease or disorder occurs when a protein produced by the body's immune system in the bone marrow, which is there to fight off invaders in the body, such as bacteria, viruses, or any other harmful environmental factors. These antibodies or proteins are produced by a type of white blood cell in the bone marrow called a beta cell. But this needn't concern you. You've got to understand what the body does to protect itself against infection. And you've also, in the program, hopefully when I'm finished, will understand how the combination of environmental and genetic factors interacting with each other all help to either promote this process or inhibit this process. And this is the basic understanding of medicine today. Medicine, if I might criticize it, after my 60 years of practice, is it's always been one-dimensional. It's always been focusing on a disorder and not looking laterally and not looking on the causes.
I want to comment on that because I think it's very important to understand, and this is really the purpose of the show, exactly that, is that medicine has done wonderful things for us and really given us a longer life, maybe a better quality of life, and to a large extent we're living longer. The problem is that medicine is treating symptoms, not causes. And what we need to do today, and I think the world's moving this way, is to be integrative, to understand that there are a lot of factors that come with, you know, all the maladies that we have. And sometimes, maybe even a lot of the times, I dare say, they're caused by ourselves because of our bad lifestyle, you know, the way that we are mishandling the body, because the body is very, very clever.
And the fact that we enter life not understanding what we face in life.
Mm.
You know, our knowledge of our inherited disorders is not really deep at the moment. It's got to be dug deeper and deeper and deeper, because then we will start to understand everything. We actually close the door after the horse has bolted. And this is particularly true of malignancies and cancers and also the autoimmune disorders. If I can digress for just a minute, when you see that tumor has arisen because years and years and years of malfunction of the body have caused that tumor to arise. We'll come to that in the conclusion.
I was actually just going to mention before also is that what you're saying is that we need to start way earlier in our lives, as early as we possibly can, because the Alzheimer's and the dementia and the Parkinson's and the cancers and the autoimmune diseases are really starting when you're in your teens or your 20s. It's not something that you have to wait all of a sudden to find that you have.
If you get back to it, they're actually starting when you're in the embryo.
Amazing.
In your genetic makeup.
You know what I feel? I was just thinking of the sport. You know, like we get married and we don't get a manual on how to raise our kids.
Yes.
Like we're not taught. It's not something that, you know, it's learned, et cetera, et cetera. And we make so many mistakes because we're inadequate. The same thing has happened with the education around our health. We haven't received the full-on manual in understanding the length, the breadth, the width of the human body and how to treat it.
Absolutely.
The thing also when it comes to autoimmune diseases is that sometimes it's only found way too late in the game. So someone starts with certain symptoms like their headaches or their fatigue or their brain fog or joint pain or whatever it is. Sometimes it's only found 10 to 15 years later when the person is so desperate.
You're absolutely spot on, Faye. We're coming to it.
Okay.
There is a genetic basis for most, if not all, the autoimmune conditions. And certain genes can increase the risk of autoimmunity. I will discuss the cause of autoimmune disease under two main headings. First of all, the body's inability to respond evenly to an autoimmune challenge. Sounds complicated, but it's not complicated.
We're talking to Dr. Kassel, and we're talking about everything to do with autoimmunity. And this is your chance to speak to a very, very wise doctor, someone who's been in practice for more than 60 years and is able to look at things in a much broader spectrum. If you'd like to ask a question of the doctor, you'd like to make a comment on what we're saying, the SMS line is 34519. Our telegram number is 061-895-1019.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
We're talking with Dr. Kassel. Excuse me. We're talking with Dr. Kassel, and we're talking everything to do with autoimmunity. Let's get stuck into it now.
Thank you. To explain my first statement, the body's inability to respond evenly to an autoimmune challenge, put very simply, it's the body's inability to not be able to differentiate self from non-self. In other words, it cannot distinguish between what is part of our own body, self, and doesn't need to be attacked, and what is foreign or potentially harmful, non-self, which needs to be attacked. And it is this that goes wrong that probably leads to three of the biggest diseases, disorders in medicine that I will quote over here. It's all related, funnily enough, to an HLA-DBBRG. Beginning to sound like AI, but don't worry. don't be upset by the statement. It is partially a family of genes that play a part in the recognition process of the antibody. And let us take the first condition, rheumatoid arthritis, which plagues millions of people all over the world. This is a condition affecting the joints, which leads to severe inflammation and pain. The gene group present in rheumatoid arthritic patients and that play a role in rheumatoid arthritis are today well documented and well known, the group that I've given that very complicated name. The gene is associated with an increased risk of rheumatoid arthritis from the word go, not even long before you develop the arthritis, and it's inherited. And the gene and its variants operate to affect the immune system's ability to recognize self from non-self. And in mistakenly, in rheumatoid arthritis, the immune system may not only attack the body's invaders, which are mainly infections and certain environmental factors, but mistakenly, these same antibodies, having the same DNA structure, invade the body's own tissues or joints, leading to the autoimmune disease known as rheumatoid arthritis. The second big disorder, type 1 diabetes. Basically, the same mechanism exists. Autoimmune disease plays the basic role in causation of this disease. Again, it's genetic factors linked to the HLA gene reach. And I'm not going into that because it's not the purpose of this program. The variants in this lesion can influence the immune system to respond to invader, but at the same time, these little antibodies from the bone marrow don't only attack the invader, but they attack the insulin-producing cells of the pancreas. And you have diabetes. Very simple. The third condition, multiple sclerosis. And you only have to look around, even in our community, where we are, and you will see people that are unfortunately wheelchair-ridden with this terrible disease, which is a disease which affects the nervous system by destroying nerve fibers and the myelin sheaths of the nerves, leading to complete paralysis. Akin, the same genetic mechanisms are linked to multiple sclerosis. They're all linked to the body not being able to distinguish self from non-self, and they are all underlying gene disorders.
It's actually interesting. My husband has a friend in Montreal that struggled with multiple sclerosis his whole life. Even in school, he was actually pretty nervous to get married. He did, and then had children, thank God, but he eventually found a homeopath.
Yeah.
And the homeopath changed everything for him. It changed his whole diet, put him on certain remedies, and since then he's had no symptoms.
Well, this is exactly what we've tried to emphasize in this program. Be proactive rather than retroactive. Start to intervene to stop all this happening long before it happens.
Yeah.
When it happens, it's too late.
Well, I think this is something that I wanted to ask. You know, multiple sclerosis, type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, those are things that you're saying they're genetic, which means that you're predisposed to it. And it kind of like, it's that for a lot of people, it's a fait accompli. Well, that's just it.
It's not a fait accompli, because if you identify the gene disorder, and very shortly, with the tremendous emphasis that's being placed on genes and genetic studies and genetic engineering, you'll soon be able to correct these things long before they occur.
I think we're going to go take, like, ask you just in terms of your knowledge, but certainly we've spoken to other people, and what Faggy's saying right now is that in the integrative world, there are people. I know somebody with multiple sclerosis who's under the care of an integrative medicine doctor. Obviously, she doesn't, like, you know, negate the allopathic stuff, but she's retarded and reversed somewhat the onset and the way that normally the progression, that's the word I'm looking for.
The progression.
So it's not that you can't have a normal life or whatever have you. You obviously have to change certain things.
You have to change certain things, and you've got to change diet and environment. This is where the lateral thinking comes in medicine. It's not just a question of giving an antibiotic or giving a medicine or giving a steroid or giving methotrexate. Medicine doesn't consist of that. You wouldn't have to go to university for 6 years plus five to learn how to write out a prescription for methotrexate. You've got to know why the condition occurs. And it brings me back to a lecture, our final lecture from the Dean of Medicine when we graduated as students. You know what he said in this hour as we graduated? The art of medicine is knowing when not to prescribe. And that was so true. And after 60 years of medicine myself, I've learned the painful lesson that the art of medicine is knowing when not to prescribe.
So I think then the idea of autoimmunity is to figure out what your body is not doing well with. In other words, what your body doesn't handle or what's attacking it.
Yes. First of all, take the first factor that I've spoken of over here. Your body gets a stimulus to attack an invader. That stimulus is the invader, is the non-self. It needs to be attacked. But at the same time, the type of protein or antibody that is produced to attack non-self also attacks self, your body tissues.
Well, when we started, you know, getting into all of this, is actually autoimmunity was really what fascinated me the most. And my sister was going through a lot of symptoms. She couldn't go to the shop. She couldn't handle the light. She panicked in stores. She felt like the world literally couldn't even hold her. And she also went from doctor to doctor, didn't understand what was going on. Eventually, I told her to email my homeopath here in South Africa. And within minutes, he emailed her back and said, you have Hashimoto's. Like, go do these certain bloods that no doctor had done until that point. She found out that she did have Hashimoto's, actually. Yeah. Her levels were really bad. She turned her life around with diet and didn't need any medications from it.
And you will see when we do our program on diet and environments that this is probably one of the major factors in turning things around. Absolutely.
So you discussed something about proteins from the bone marrow. Isn't that certain foods have a protein that that attacks your body? Like, I know with gluten, for instance, I feel a difference when I eat it, but there's a protein within gluten or a protein within dairy, let's say, that the person can't handle.
Absolutely.
That attacks the person's immune system or attacks what?
Stimulates the immune system abnormally, so that the protein that is stimulating the immune system may have a similar structure to the invader and therefore producing an antibody protein that is identifying the invader, but is also attacking tissues.
Because I know when it comes to autoimmunity, a lot of the natural doctors will tell you to go off all of the inflammatory foods, which is gluten, dairy, sugar.
So I want to chime in here because we're talking about our journeys. My health journey started 36 years ago when my son was a year and a half, and he got an autoimmune disease called minimal change nephrotic syndrome. I'm sure Dr. Cussell knows everything about it. It's a disease for life. I found five other people in South Africa that had it. You suffer with a kidney not functioning properly, protein in the urine, kidney transplants. Dialysis, it's a horrible disease, and it's irreversible. And there I sat with a 1.5-year-old kid, and he was already, like, he was leaking plus 4 protein. And we went the allopathic route, and thank God we did. Again, I'm not knocking the doctors. You know, they had to save his life. He was like literally on the brink of the other side. We had to do chemotherapy drugs. We had to do cortisone. But I sat there and I thought, how can a body of a 1.5-year-old go so wacko so quickly? And after a lot of knocking down, I found a homeopath who went and said, what? He's allergic to milk. And I've got to be honest. I laughed at him. I said to him, I've got a degree in biochemistry and genetics. Look where my son is, and you're just telling me to stop the milk. And he explained to me the process, exactly what we're talking about now.
Exactly.
And I stopped the milk. I cleaned him out. We supported the body, reduced everything. By 3 years old, he was cured of an incurable autoimmune disease, according to the allopathic world.
One more story, because we, I mean, autoimmunity, I think we're going to have to carry on another show.
I think it's important that people hear that, because you think that...
My niece, at the age of my sister's daughter, also with the Hashimoto's, she subsequently found out that her older daughter also had it because of it, and she also changed her diet. Her 9-year-old, at the time, started putting on weight, and she took her to the doctor, and the doctor just said, no, it's age-appropriate, this is normal, this is how it goes. And she knew because of herself and her daughter about the Hashimoto's and weight gain. And she said, no, we have to do these tests. Like, and she forced the doctor to do the antibody tests for thyroid. Because of her history, the doctor agreed. The antibodies apparently were so through the roof that the GP said, I'm so sorry, I cannot handle this case. You have to go to a
specialist.
You have to go to specialists. She went and changed her diet without going to the specialists.
Yeah.
Went back to the GP 3 months later. The GP said, you cannot come to me. You have to go to the specialists. Why have you not gone to the specialists yet? They did the antibody test, and it had gone all the way down. The specialist said there must have been something wrong with the test originally.
There you go.
She took her off gluten and dairy the day she found out.
Again, lack of lateral thinking.
Yes.
All right, let's get on to the second type of autoimmune disorder. It's known as autoimmune mimicry. And it started with a discovery by a man called Damashek in 1952, a discovery which he called the autoimmune syndrome. He actually got the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1952 for this discovery. This is when the immune system's response to an infection mainly mistakenly targets the body's own tissues. An example of this is when a person gets a throat infection like the streptococcus. The immune response to streptococcus Lonsfield group A is to produce anti-streptococcal antibodies to fight that intruder. But some of the antibodies, the streptococcal bacteria antibodies, have structure, and some streptococcal bacteria have structures in them that are similar to the proteins in the body's own tissue. In other words, the proteins in the heart and the kidneys. And the antibodies produced to fight the bacteria can also bind themselves to similar-looking proteins in several of the body's tissues, leading to the immune system attacking its own tissues with inflammation and damage. This was probably the greatest advance in medicine of the century. Again, some of these susceptible individuals have proven genetic variations in their immune systems that makes their immune systems more likely to react in this way. Again, this very complicated HLA-DABY gene, which you needn't concern yourself with. And its variants are implicated in making the compromised immune system more likely to react in this way and develop an autoimmune response to infections, not only the bacterial, but also the viral. Yes, the initial trigger is an infection, but genetic makeup and environment and diet influences how the body responds to these autoimmune diseases. Some of the most important disorders linked to autoimmunity fit into this category, and I will summarize Damashek's address which got him the Nobel Prize. First of all, the disease of rheumatic fever, where the attack is not only on the invading streptococcus, but also an attack on the heart's muscles and its valve. Secondly, the disease nephritis and nephrosis, a similar attack on the kidneys following an invader in the throat, and you've got nephritis and nephrosis.
Just on that note, when I discussed it with the homeopath, that's how my son got that nephrotic syndrome. He had a streptococcus infection, but he had the streptococcus infection because his immune system was busy fighting the milk. That was exactly it. It was just like actually so simple, stupid.
It's autoimmune mimicry. People know this. They know it all now. It's proven. It's not the things that we dream about. It's proven in medicine. But no, people don't think laterally. The third disorder, hemolytic anemia. Attack on the red blood cells, and you start break down your red blood cells for no reason whatsoever, and all of a sudden you're anemic and need repeated blood transfusion. The fourth condition, purpura and bruising, an attack on the platelets and the clotting cells. I won't bother you with the name of it. I've said it last time and it's confused everyone. Idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura.
It sounds like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That disease.
The fifthly, rashes. A very characteristic rash in this syndrome, which is a rash in the butterfly area of the face. Now, all these conditions are diseases of childhood. Mainly, they start in childhood. But when all these conditions combine into one, the disorder is then called lupus erythematosus.
Wow.
That's the lupus syndrome. It's the complete breakdown of the immune mechanism, where the body starts wildly attacking everything. So you have it before you. If you've had a person with rheumatic fever, with nephrosis, with unexplained hemolytic anemia, with unexplained idiopathic purpura, bear it in mind. It's a red flag. This may translate into lupus. We hardly see lupus in a child. It's almost unheard of. You don't see the lupus syndrome, but you certainly see the lupus syndrome in adults. And again, what do? We wait 5 years, we wait 10 years, we wait 15 years and 20 years before full-blown lupus presents itself. And then we start off with our cortisone and our methotrexate and our antimetabola. Too late. The horse has bolted.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Kassler. We're talking autoimmune disease. If you are a sufferer or you have a family member that suffers with autoimmunity, now's your chance to ask a question or to make a comment. You can SMS us on 34519 or you can telegram on 061-895-1019. Rosh Hashanah, the new year, is a time to show appreciation and to thank people. And if you want to send a special gift to someone in South Africa, the Selwyn Siegel Gift Shop has a wide range of beautiful gifts for all tastes across a wide range of prices. And they deliver nationwide. So you can visit their website, selwynsiegelgifts.co.za. This is 101.9 High FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Fagie Stern.
Well, to continue, genetics plays a major role in facilitating all of these developments and all of these two different types of immune system disorder that I've classified. But always remember, things don't occur in isolation. There are all sorts of theories, environmental theories, dietary theories, as to why these autoimmune disorders occur. Infections, inflammation is very, very important. It can produce an abnormal antibody. So can hormonal influences. So can sunlight. So can dietary imbalances such as milk and other factors. and so can certain drugs and chemicals. So it all begins to tie up like Arthur Conan Doyle and Sherlock Holmes. You begin to see the light. All these factors can trigger the disease in several different organs of the body. And several genes have also been identified that may increase the risk of developing lupus. Some of these genes are closely linked to the immune system regulation, where certain variations break down completely and they produce an antibody which mistakenly attacks all the body's own tissue, as I have mentioned. And of course, this talk would be incomplete without a little word about vaccines. I've deliberately deferred in my programs until now, over the last 2 or 3 years, of entering into the controversy about vaccination. And I have no intention to offend my esteemed colleagues who have saved countless and millions of lives by vaccination. Let us all get onto the same page. Yes, lives have been saved by vaccination. Vaccination is essential. It needs to be done, but it needs to be done in pandemics. It needs to be done to control diseases that continue. Let's leave it at that. But you know what a vaccine is? It's introducing a protein into the body via the vaccination, the so-called mRNA protein in the recent series of vaccinations that we've had. And this mRNA protein, produces an antibody supposedly to attack what it's meant to attack, which is the invading organism. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, articles begin to appear in the literature of footballers who have died on the football field suddenly. 10% increase in brain tumors suddenly. Increased risk of Bell's palsy suddenly.
And there's this thing called turbo cancers also.
Yes, cancer. So what do you think might be happening? All right. People that have poo-pooed these ideas have said it's rare. True enough, it is rare. Nobody says it happens to everybody who has a vaccine. But bear in mind, this is the same antibody that you're introducing into the individual to produce an antibody protein that may also go rogue, go rampant. And just bear that in mind.
So does that also have to have a different effect on everyone based on their genetics?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
So it could turn on certain genes, basically.
Absolutely, it was susceptible. And I want to end the controversy over here because the answer is not available to anybody. But there's somewhere in what I've just said lies the truth. The second place where immune disorder has played a vital role, and I will end with this because we're running out of time. In the immune function that is involved in controlling a cancerous tumor. Now, a cancerous tumor, wherever it arises in the body and whatever cancer it is in the body, is an invader. It's non-self. The body doesn't like it, and the body attacks it, and that is what happens. And the body produces anti-tumor antibodies. If you don't believe me, take yourself to the laboratory now, let them check your cancer antibodies, and they will tell you that you're susceptible maybe to prostate cancer, maybe to breast cancer. Those antibodies will be fluctuating. Well, to cut a long story short, it was the realization many years ago that if you lived long enough, your whole body would turn malignant, that brought people to realize what was going on. There is a vaccine which you produce in your body by your bone marrow in exactly the same way with by an anti-tumor antibody that keeps that tumor under control. But when your anti-tumor antibody gets impacted, such as in BRCA gene cancer, where the BRCA gene susceptibility may impair the antibody, all of a sudden that tumor starts to spread. And Israel, the much maligned Israel, is responsible for leading the world in monoclonal antibody therapy. The treatment for malignancy is surgery, cut the tumor out, sure enough. Radiotherapy, burn it out, sure enough. Chemotherapy, poison it out, sure enough. It's a successful treatment of cancer. But the ultimate treatment of cancer is what is now being done in certain types of cancer, to take the monoclonal antibody, which is defective in people that have developed cancer, to concentrate this antibody in the laboratory, reintroduce it into the patient, and hey presto, all of a sudden, the secondaries, the metastases, and everything else disappears. Israel leads the world in the treatment of breast cancer, BRCA gene cancer, by this precise mechanism which I've outlined to you. And so we come to the end of today's presentation. What we've got to learn from today's presentation, and it always brings me back to the lecture that was given to us, and I've quoted before in this program, I apologize for repeating it, but the late Professor Philip Tobias, probably one of the most outstanding lecturers that the university has ever known. And he, in our first lecture at anatomy, gave this lecture entitled The bad germ is going to be replaced by the bad gene. And so truly today, the bad gene is very rapidly replacing the bad germ in the understanding of all the disorders that we're suffering from.
Well, there you have it. We have a comment, I think, that was directed at me, so I'm going to reply to it. A guest sent in a message: your child's illness was saved via diet. When adults are diagnosed with autoimmune illness, is it too late to assist with correct diet and lifestyle change? And my answer is categorically not. It's never too late. Your body is incredibly, incredibly intelligent. And it's really, you know, when they talk about garbage in, garbage out, if you put right what goes in, then you're going to get good what comes out. And there's no time frame to it. I was lucky enough that the doctor diagnosed that for my kid, and I cured him of incurable disease. But you can cure yourself at the age of 50 and 60 and 70. It's never, ever too late. We are living organisms, and as long as we breathe, we can change direction. And I think that, you know, do you want to make a comment on that?
I want to make a comment. I just want to make a little comment on something which is also controversial. You know, let's take coronary thrombosis, vascular clotting. They blame cholesterol, they blame the certain type of cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol. And what happens when the person gets the coronary at 40 or 50 years of age, he gets onto a bicycle or a treadmill or a whatever the contraption and starts exercising. And this is now part of the treatment of coronary thrombosis, but too late, far too late. You've got to understand the dietary factors that actually lead to LDL cholesterol coming about. You've got to understand the genetic influences that can influence LDL cholesterol. You're born with that program into your system the moment you enter this earth, the capacity to develop coronary thrombosis and have an abnormal LDL cholesterol. But what happens again? You wait until 40 or 50 years of age until you collapse somewhere, have a coronary, and then everybody gets very excited with the statins, with the blood pressure tablets, with the exercises, and no doubt very good treatments, but too late.
Well, I think the message here is to end off is that we have to be proactive and we have to look after our health as soon as we've got this knowledge. But at the same time, I've got to say there are people that do land up at 40 and 50 and 60 with diseases. And yes, it's a very big wake-up call, but you still can reverse a lot of the damage and manage your lifestyle in a different way. And unfortunately, at that, we're going to have to finish our discussion. We probably could debate this a lot, and we're going to get you back again, Dr. Castle.
Thank you. And just one final concluding paragraph. What I'm saying must not be taken amiss. It is very, very important to treat these conditions when they are treatable, when you get them. But what we're trying to say in this program, the healthy you is a wealthy you. Be proactive rather than retroactive. If you can prevent something from occurring or know that it's going to occur, you're far more likely to control it and to ameliorate the effects of the disorder. That's what
Absolutely.
We're trying to do.
And also find the right person that can actually help you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you, Dr. Castle, always for your wisdom. And we wish everybody a wonderful week ahead. And we'll be back same time, same place next week. This is 101.9 High FM.